worldwide live through the internet with BBS Radio.
This conference is being recorded.
With us, group, this is as usual a simulcast with a conference call. It is today, Monday, January the 4th, 2016. I welcome you all. I believe that I saw the helicopter arrive. I believe that Wynn came out and moved himself into the studio.
Good.
Uh-oh.
Excellent.
Hello, Wynn.
Hi. Wait a second. Marilyn Houseman, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Can I put you on live tonight?
What?
That means yes.
trust me, Marilyn, okay? Don't be nervous. Don't be nervous. If Hives can do it, anyone can do it. All right.
He was born for it.
Who was born for it?
Hive.
He was. Now, are you going to make Marilyn feel bad?
I hope not.
Terry on the line. Terry,
yeah.
There?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. You're really loud.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Microphone. Terry's got a new microphone.
It's on my computer.
Sweet.
Yeah?
She's probably outdoing me.
You gave me the mic.
I gave her the mic. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
And this is January 4th, 2016. And here we are, barreling in to January.
That's right.
And we're called, what did I call this? I called this extracurricular activities. And it comes under probably the headline of community. And I thought I'd share in more detail some of the things that we do that you can participate in. And why would you want to? What is the value? What is the purpose? You know, I gotta stop saying you know. Who told me this? Who told me that?
Me.
I'm not gonna say you know. You?
Okay. Yeah.
You know.
Get it over with.
Get it over with. Well, we talk about one of the first things I learned when I was studying the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce and the raw material. And it was somewhat of a shock to read it in both things, was that there was going to be a separation of souls in this period of time. And there would be two groups that would be kind of existing simultaneously, but they kind of become invisible to each other. And one group was prepping itself to graduate this realm, and the other group, well, it's not so quite so simple, but the other group was going to be cycle repeaters, or people enslaving, beings enslaving cycle repeaters. They didn't say that. That's my expansion to it. They just called it the cycle repeaters. And the criteria for graduating was having your heart chakra open slightly more than half, or you could say being of service slightly more than service to others slightly more than 51%. The Ra group makes a big distinction between service to self and service to others. Now, believe it or not, service to self can graduate as well. Service to self needs to be 95% dedicated service to self. So that's why they're such a-holes, because they're striving for 90, they don't know this, they don't even understand this, but, you know, the ones that are the most masterful are striving towards 95%. And that means that they need to create everyone's energy directed towards them. How would that look? It would be just like having slaves, right? And telling you do this, you do that. Now, you know, at the top end of the scale, people do give each other their energies. But the difference between service to self and service to other is, the key word is free will, okay? Service to other always honors free will. It never uses trickery to get somebody's energy. It never uses subterfuge to get somebody else's energy. Whereas service to other will pull no stop at what it takes to get somebody's energy. What does it mean to get somebody's energy? Okay, well, we could do it. I mean, probably one of the best examples is sexuality, sexual expression. People that want to get the energy of another person can do it through telling them lies, telling them what they want to hear. Doesn't matter. And the problem with that is that when you get somebody's energy in that way, it doesn't sustain, because there's no, the co-creation goes out of it quickly. For the energy to sustain, there needs to be a free will give and take, and then the energy renews itself. That's what makes a really good relationship. Also, it helps to have a common purpose. If two people have a common purpose, it's easy to have give and take. What's a common purpose? Having children, having a family, having a spiritual purpose, having, you know, you name it. There's lots of common purposes. So the key here is that energy exchange can be important, okay? And a lot of people would like to have more energy exchange in their life, but they can't find the right people to do it with. And sometimes they're locked in. I'm not going to say it's the wrong people, not the wrong person, but they're locked in a relationship, for example, where the energy exchange has gone out of it, but they're still committed to the relationship. Or maybe the energy exchange has gotten lower. Doesn't mean it's disappeared. And there's something unfulfilling about the relationship. Of course, you know, in optimum, it's great to have the best relationship, the best energy exchange. Somebody caring about you, you caring about them. Great relationship is where people can see each other as part of each other, and they do what they can to make the other person happier, because they're experiencing energy exchange, where if they make the other person happier, they make themselves happier. And so once you learn that, and once you're at that level of, shall we say, evolution, where you can feel that, then it creates a lot of happiness and joy in your life, a lot of support, a lot of balance. You know, people have sex and and they do it for each other as well as for themselves. In other words, they're not just trying to fulfill their own needs. They're fulfilling the other person's needs, and it becomes a joy to do that. If somebody is just fulfilling their own needs, the well runs dry. But you know what? It's like that all may be true, and I'm sure many of you listening tonight saying, well, where am I going to find that? How am I going to have more exchange with another person? Well, it doesn't have to be in a personal relationship. Why is this exchange so important? Well, when we're on these calls, we do have energy exchange. Now, I do most of the talking, but I'm very sensitive to the energy on the call. Many times, now I don't do this at a conscious level. I do not do it, and I don't even know I'm doing it. But many times on the call, people sent me an email afterwards and said, you talked just about what I was going through. And I started to realize that we come into kind of a temporary group consciousness. And in a temporary group consciousness, the way that I would put it is there is a temporary group mind. And I'm sure some of you have had this experience of being in a temporary group mind where, like in different times in my life, somebody would call me at the same moment that I was calling them, okay? And we were, you know, miles apart, maybe thousands of miles apart. And for certain people, it happened often. When Terry calls me, I don't have to look at the phone. I tested myself. When she calls me, I can feel, oh, there's Terry calling me. I look at the phone, and it's always Terry, because I'm sensitive to her frequency. And so it's kind of like as we have this kind of energy exchange with people, in order to do it, you need to have an open heart. And having an open heart is part of what helps you graduate this realm. Not being lonely, being despondent, doesn't mean you're bad, okay? It just, everyone goes through that. And how do you get out of that? How do you get out of it? I mean, you know, people have circumstances. Sometimes they're sick. Sometimes they're stuck in bed. Sometimes they're disabled. And like Terry Friedman, for example, was in that situation. And that we've created circumstances around Terry because he has such an ability to give to people that not only is he giving, but the energy's coming back to him and he's cheering up. And I can say again, my sister had her healing because I was telling her jokes every day. Now, it seems so silly. You have somebody, we think of healing, and we think of Jesus walking around, waving his hands, and everyone is just, you know, healed. And Jesus maybe could do that, but I'm not there yet. So I'm looking with what I'm learning about how healing works, how graduation from this realm works. And those of you that are coming to the calls regularly, I am sure you've had some exposure to those concepts. And people are thinking, I want to graduate. I want to graduate. I don't blame you because, you know, it's not for sure what's going to happen in this realm. It's not for sure what's going to happen in the physical earth. There's still a lot of things playing out. Now, some people say there's nothing to worry about, and the whole planet will graduate. And I can't see how that can be true. And the reason, in my mind, why it doesn't seem to make sense is that because free will is such a tantamount concept of the higher forces, and because there are so many beings that are service to self that do not want to exercise free will, they just want to exercise control, that they're very attached to their control mechanisms and their sleazy plans. And as I get it, the universe has to allow them to be that way. Now, the key is, you say, well, how about free will for us? Well, you know what? If you exercise your free will, then they can't get you. I don't believe they can enslave you. They might kill you, but it's better to be killed exercising free will than being enslaved by the Illuminati, okay? That's what I am sure of. And in one of our Wednesday calls, there was an amazing comment to somebody. And I don't know if I think I repeated this once, but I'll hammer it in. And that the comment was from someone that said, you know, I love somebody in a certain city. I forget the city, but it was a big city like Washington, D.C. or Detroit. Let's say Detroit is a good city to use because it's one of the tougher cities to be in. I love somebody in Detroit, and I'm living in the woods in Washington State, and I think Detroit might be a dangerous place to live. So do you think I should move? What would happen if I move into this relationship? And the answer surprised me. They said it's better to go with a relationship and move out of the woods because, and what they were saying was, in the relationship, the person would have an open heart. And it was more important to have an open heart and die young than to not have an open heart and die old. That's what they were saying, because in one case, you would graduate. In the other case, you wouldn't. And they didn't say all that, but that's what I read into it. And I never thought about it that way, because, you know, life is a precious thing, and it is great to be alive and to have the experience of this miracle we call life. But when it comes to opening your heart, that's the portal to the higher realms. So it's important to keep your heart open. And if you are feeling isolated, and yes, when we were on these calls, many people make the connection with the higher realms. They feel the energy and they do open their hearts. But have you found a way to keep your heart open in your life? Have you found a way to do that? Have you found true friends that can see you as you are and not judge you? That's one of the tough things. When you're feeling lonely, people notice. They notice, and then they judge you, and they don't want to be around you, and they don't know how to go above the loneliness to connect with you, and you don't know how to go above the loneliness. So that's why we have these extracurricular activities, because on this call, yes, we bring in the energies, we bring in the light, people feel the energies, but most of you don't get a chance to express yourself unless you're on the little small group that comes in before the call and where everyone says hello to each other. and Hives has his fan club, as well as some other people have their little fan clubs, and he'll pull the energy, and people say hello, so they're personally recognized. So what if there's a way to come into a call and it's only just a few people, and they can bring the energy in that we do on this call, but they get to express themselves because there's not so many people. And this is all done by volunteers. This is all done. Someday we might have to start charging for some of these services. And we would be very well justified to do it, because if it starts getting big, there'll be too many people, too much administration work, and it will cost too much money. And, you know, when we charge for something, and when you give a donation, those of you that have been on the calls long enough to observe your own transformation, because you connect with these energies. And if you're new to the calls, then be patient. I urge you to hang in, because people are having transformations on these calls. They are learning stuff. They're breaking down old patterns. They're learning the way the other side works, and they're feeling the energy of the higher dimensions on these calls. But it only becomes meaningful when you can start to apply it to your life and not just have to be on the calls. How do you learn how to apply it to your life? Well, sometimes it's just a natural process, and you start to integrate it, and we talk about these things, and suddenly, I mean, I get emails. I'm trying to remember some of the emails I get. My voice has gotten more loving. People feel the difference in me. I'm more radiant all the time. People are liking me where they didn't before. That's when it starts to apply to your life, when you're holding the energy. And you have to be strong enough to hold the energy against the negativity of the lower realms and not get drawn into it. And it's a learning process, and you can only learn it by doing it. You can't, it's not a technique. It's not like, there's a fast way to do it. So, but one of the things that's really cool is when you come on a call that's a small call, like five people or something, and you do it every day, and everybody gets to know each other, and they call in the light, and we have that program going on. It's called Team Shift, okay? And it's for a lot of people, I've reported really, really, really great results for doing that. And Edna's not on the line. And Edna, I don't think she's on the line tonight. But Edna and Colleen are helping to administer it, okay? I'll give you an idea. There's a guy here in Sedona. I don't think he's on the line. He sent me a great email. His name is Jay Wilder. He doesn't mind if I say his name. He sent me a great email where he talked about the extraordinary benefits of being coming to a team shift call every day. And I'll just read it. I just looked up his email. One, have a regular place to stabilize your life experience. Two, work with the Elohim and see miracles in your life. Three, be of service. service to your family, yourself, and the world. Four, going from being a channel for the light to operate through. I think I know what he means there. That when you get to a certain place, the light just works through you. And, you know, it's not a big deal. You know, I think that Terry and I are examples of that. We don't go through a big deal. The light just starts happening when we're talking. And I'm not making it happen. I'm not even aware of it. I mean, I can take a moment and look at it. I can feel the energy. But it's just no big deal. So you become something you experience that you're just letting that energy work through you. And then you become transparent to other people. Five, have something to look forward to each day that is a safe haven. Six, develop new and true friendships. Seven, have a place to receive spiritual answers. Eight, expand your viewpoint of life and what's possible. Nine, open and balance your chakras from the high vibrational energy of the team shift sessions. 10, feeling part of the oneness that is. So it's like every day meeting for 15 minutes. If people want to stay on the line and talk, they can. If two people want to talk and everyone wants to hang up, they can. If you want to come three or four times a week instead of every day, you can. And the team shift groups create themselves, and we are just creating a platform for them to occur. And if anyone wants Edna to contact them and schedule you in a team shift, then just respond to the email I sent out today, and I'll make sure it happens. Okay? And, you know, I'm very, how can I say it? I'm not into ritual. I'm not into dogma. But I'm into creating environments that other people can grow. And, you know, this is like the fact that we're doing this and we're not charging you for it, probably a mess. Okay? But you're buying pendants so we can pay the bills. But this is, people, you couldn't buy a program that gave somebody the experience that Jay is having with Team Shift. I mean you could go to weekend workshops and spend hundreds of dollars, and you won't get that kind of result. And basically, it's like a Sunday call where they call, there's no big control mechanism. No one's the boss. Somebody calls in the light. Everybody puts their own issue into the light every day. You can talk about your problems, but don't expect the people on that line to fix them. Expect that you'll get compassion and understanding. And I would suggest if you're going through big issues, don't talk about it every day. Just talk about it one day and then bite the bullet, bite your tongue, and wait for the energy to come. In observing how a team shift group evolves, sometimes it takes a few weeks for the energy to stick because people are getting over the sandpaper and feeling self-conscious with new people. And it may not work for you. It doesn't work for everybody. But, you know, if it sounds appealing, if you want those kind of results like Jay is getting and other people, then it certainly is worth trying. And, you know, the big deal about it is, every day, you're helping to open up your heart chakra, stabilize your DNA, which starts to become a life experience instead of, like, feeling depressed and then having suddenly a big positive experience going back to being depressed again. Or not feel it's okay to be depressed. Don't feel bad about being depressed. We've all been there and done that. And the problem with being depressed is that it tends to freeze you from doing things because you have a shame that other people are going to see you. And everyone wants to have the memory of looking good for other people. That's why public speaking is, some people have said that public speaking is more scary than death, because no one wants to look bad in front of other people, except me. I'm willing to do it, but I don't think I look bad. But we have to go through all these experiences of being out there talking to people to get the energy to the point it's at now. So, you know, I just want to encourage everyone to participate. Now, Team Shift is only one of the extracurricular activities. And another one is the Reading Club. And we have two women who are kind of hosting reading clubs, Marilyn Lawrence in Flagstaff and Marilyn Houseman in Pittsburgh. And this has all evolved totally by organic flow. And people came forward that saw the need and had talents and wanted to help. In some cases, I asked somebody if they were willing to do it. And, for example, Marilyn Lawrence in Flagstaff happens to be a very metaphysically savvy person. She has done the I Ching. She used to lead Edgar Casey groups. And she has this quality, I would say, of being the ultimate mother. And it's like, and she is truly selfless. And she is hosting the Reading Club. And the Reading Club is where we take excerpts from our books. Let me see if I can find Marilyn here. And guys, if you can find Marilyn and unmute her, it would be great.
Marilyn, Pennsylvania.
How about Marilyn Lawrence? Did you see Marilyn Lawrence?
I haven't seen her. No, I have not.
I just spoke to her before the call, and she said she was going to be on.
Marilyn, if you listen, please press star 6.
Press star 6, okay? She was looking forward to being on, actually. Marilyn,
are
you here?
I'm here.
Okay. All right, okay, we got you. All right. So, you know, we are starting a new reading club on the reincarnation of Edgar Casey coming up this Thursday. But why don't you share, Marilyn, what the reading club is once a week. And why don't you share what happens on the reading club?
Okay, well, what we do is whoever's interested in the material that we're working with. Currently, we have one group that is working with the Law of One, The Choice, that is a book that Carla put together out of her work. And that meets on Tuesday evenings. And we read a little bit, we discuss quite a bit, and then we have an activity that we put into practice during the week. And we call in the light and share with each other. It's really quite nice. It takes about an hour, sometimes an hour and a half if we get lost in discussion. And it always feels good to put our concerns and each other in the light. So the new one that we're starting is on the reincarnation of Edgar Casey, the second part, which is all readings. And it has a lot of information about graduation, about what we can do to enhance our own spiritual connection in this dimension. And I think that it will be very interesting and exciting to discuss it from all of the points of view of the people that are coming together on the call.
When someone, whether it was the Ra Group through David Wilcock, I can't remember where this came through. I think it was through Wilcock, where they said, as you study us, we study you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things about the Reading Club is it's you're studying it. And some of these channelings are incredibly deep, incredibly deep. Even me, I read them, and I read them again, and I get something else out of it. It's layers of meaning to them. And when I was writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, we were editing David's channelings. And Terry and I would meet, we'd go to restaurants in Pasadena, and we would read out loud the book and the channelings to try to, she was helping edit everything to get it really right. And while we were reading, I could feel this incredible energy. And it was my first time I grasped that they really were paying attention. I didn't know that. I made the premise, I wonder if that's the Ra Group while we're reading this. And at this point, I'm sure it was.
I could feel them, and they would tell me stuff about the book, like change this. It would be better if you change this, and here's why, and stuff like that. And so they were very helpful.
Well, maybe Terry knew it was them, but I was saying, what is that energy? It's really and you know, we would go to a restaurant and we would sit there all day. And when we were leaving, the waitresses were saying, "Are you going now?" Because we brought all this energy into the restaurant, and other people could feel it. So I suspect this is going to happen on the Reading Club for the Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And it's starting this Thursday. Is that right, Marilyn?
That's right. Yeah, 6 o'clock Pacific time.
So all you got to do is respond to the email I sent out today, or any of them, and put Reading Club there, and I will forward it to Marilyn, and you'll get an invitation. And, you know, there's no obligation. You know, the people that pick up the energy and feel the energy will come back if it works for you. And if it doesn't work for you, it doesn't mean you're bad. It means that something else is going to work for you. But it's good to try things, and you don't have to feel like a failure if it doesn't work for you. I mean, Terry watches me, and I jump into things. If it doesn't work, I jump out of them. I don't know what's going to work. And so you don't have to commit to anything. That's what free will is about. And it's a great opportunity to study this material. Our material is deep. The Elohim stuff is deep. Some people skip that step. They skip it, and you're skipping a big thing by not reading these things. The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, or the Creator God book, or the Ra material. Because what happens is, you know, you've heard me say this often, it's about changing timelines. It's about going where time moves fast. You ever notice how some books you read, you can't put them down and the time goes so fast? It's because it's moving your timelines. These are those kinds of books. And doesn't matter how you're feeling, it works. And particularly if there's a group coming together with a high purpose. And Marilyn Lawrence does a phenomenal job of holding the energy for the group. And she's not bossy. She gives people space. She's very maternal. And even I feel her maternalness. And it's good to feel that energy and that love from somebody that can express their divine feminine nature. And but she's tough. She knows how to, you know, sometimes in a group you have to put somebody in line because they're out of sync and they're trying to take over the energy. She knows how to do that. So it's a great opportunity for some of you to check it out. Just send me an email and I will forward it to Marilyn Lawrence and you'll get an invitation to that call this Thursday. Okay? Now, Marilyn, is there anything else you want to say?
No, just everybody and anybody's welcome. And it really is a wonderful experience. So I hope you'll join us.
And I want to double mention that Wynn is honoring his last name, as always.
Wynn is what?
Honoring your last name, Free.
Free.
It's
yeah,
so free.
It's probably, you know what? I'm free and I'm dumb. It's free and I'm dumb. Because we should just be charging for this stuff. One day we're going to charge at least a donation. Because the more money we have, the better job we do, okay? I mean, it is a lot of work to keep all these balls in the air. And
there's more to it. I mean, people who donate, it's a known fact, I believe, that when you donate, it comes back at you one way or another.
Yeah. Well, you know, what happens is if we are expressing the experience of oneness, and you're learning how to experience the law of one. If you're learning to feel that we're part of you, when you donate to us, you're donating to yourself. When you have that experience, okay? And so, you know, instead of feeling like it's a separation from money, you're donating to yourself, and it starts a cycle where the energy can come back. Theoretically, that would be the idea of tithing that a church does, that a church is helping to support the spirits of people, and people pay the church so they have a physical functionality to do that. That would be a best-case scenario. But in this case, we have it working thus far, doing it the way we're doing it, and just keep checking, buying our products, okay? Because keep pendants out for presents. Buy our books. But, you know, now I'm giving you another understanding as to why the books are so important, because the books, as you study us, we study you. It's part of your own building of energy so that you can be happier. You don't feel so isolated. Coming together with a group of people with a common purpose. So, you know, we have Team Shift, which is an everyday 15-minute call. And we have the book club. Marilyn, do people get into a flow in the book club? So if they start on the third week of the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, they can still fit in? Or is it different to start the first
Yes.
time?
Yes. I find that anybody that is seeking is interested and drawn to the group. Whenever they enter, it works.
I mean, really, you know, the book has half the book is the challenge, but a person can read them, start reading them at any point. And I mean, you can just open the book and read a paragraph and it will blow you away sometimes because it's so profound.
Yeah, and they're really, really amazing. And one of the things I find is that at whatever point a person enters is the point that they need whatever it is that's going on. It's
right.
Just quite amazing.
And then our other extracurricular activity is with Marilyn Houseman. Marilyn, are you there? I think I unmuted you.
Yes, I'm here.
We hear you.
Yes.
Okay. So most of you know about Terry Friedman. And, of course, if you haven't listened to the Christmas Eve meditation, now maybe I'm wrong because I didn't get a lot of emails about it yet. That's how I can tell people liked it. But I know that when I listened to it, I was amazed at when we did it, it was really a frazzled night. Everything was breaking down. There was no cell phones. And I couldn't log in. That was part of it's my fault. I gave the wrong thing. We drove down to Phoenix. And so, you know, it's like when you do something and you go somewhere, you have to reground yourself. And we weren't doing a good job of it. And when I finally got it all edited, it had an incredible flow to it. And by the time it was over, I felt the energy. I felt similar energy as Terry and I would feel when we're doing the raw material, the raw reading, the Wilcox book in the coffee shops, where there was an incredible energy around me at that moment. And so we started doing a weekly Saturday afternoon call. It's kind of a reading club of sorts on Terry Friedman's book, The Man Who Walked with Jesus, and Terry's present at it. And, you know, when I would read Terry's book, I had that same experience of the energies coming in. You notice, just because I say it just now, I start to feel the energies come in. I'm not focused on that this call. But as soon as I start to talk about it, there they are. And and also Terry was feeling really despondent. A year ago, I mean, he moved into a nursing home. He was living in a nice house. He has been highly respected most of his life as a medical doctor. And now he is having slightly partially paralyzed and is having trouble keeping his mind focused. And what I noticed is whenever he came into our calls, you know, he would often tell me, I don't feel well enough, I'm not good enough to do this. I think I should bow out. And I would force him into the call. And as soon as he started talking about Jesus, his energy would totally change. And so I said, why don't we try a call every Saturday? And Marilyn agreed to host that call, Marilyn Houseman in Pittsburgh. And and again, this is not an entertaining type call. It's a group energy type call. And when I start calls like this, when I start projects like this, I realize that it has to start small because otherwise you could lose the energy of it. Like our conference calls that we're doing right now, I think have a great energy to them every time. And part of the reason for that is you guys are holding the energy, holding the space. When we first started, I felt like I always had to prove myself. Or, you know, I was talking to dead energy. I had to keep talking to say, how do I get the energy here? Some of you were on those calls and heard them. Now the energy almost always hits the ground running. And even if I'm not totally centered and focused. You guys pushed me into being focused just by your energy. And you can observe it, and you can see how this group energy works. So I don't, it's not like you guys got to come to the Jerry Friedman call or you guys got to come to the reading club. You see, it sounds like we're going to entertain you. And that's not the way it works. You might get entertained, but we're entertaining each other. We're learning how to hold group energy as a team. And even though I'm talking and I'm the center of attention of these calls, I'm doing it just as a, how would I say it, with transparency of balancing all these energies that are coming through my field, which is your energies are coming through my field. My energy's coming through your field. Those of you that are allowing this to occur, we have these group souls coming through our field and into the space. And we know these group souls were working with Jesus, and that we have a guy that we've talked about it a number of times. I'm convinced is the reincarnation of one of the people that walked around with Jesus, and he has memories of it. And here he is, not doing that well at this moment in his life. And every time he comes to one of these Saturday calls, it's helping to heal him. Over the past year, his attitude has gotten better, his voice has gotten better. Now, you might ask, if he was Jesus' disciple, why is he in this situation? Ask me another time. All I can tell you is that because somebody was Jesus' disciple did not alleviate them from their own karma. It gave them a respite from it and, you know, the dedication of it. Just like if you guys come to these calls and you feel this great energy, if I come to this call and I feel the great energy, it doesn't relieve me of any of my karmic patterns. Well, it does in a sense. It helps relieve it because when you do positive things, it helps to lift your karmic issues. But I still have all my human side, and so do you. And coming together and feeling beautiful group energy does not take away your humanness, nor should it. I was going to read this crow channeling from Carla Rucker. Maybe I'll read it next week on Monday.
And then also on regarding Dr. Friedman, I recommend everybody to read the book, The Man Who Walked with Jesus. It tells you everything, you know.
Manwhowalked.com. You can get a PDF for as little as $5. I get a hard cover because it's good to carry around with you. It's really inspiring. It really holds the Christed energy in it, and it turns Jesus into less of a icon, and you feel the human side of Jesus. As it's, you know, Jesus said, "These things I do, you can do also, and more." So, Jesus did not own the Christ in energy; he was just the best example of it in history. And it's fascinating for me, to try to figure out who Jesus was and how he did what he did, because I think we're holding the Christed energy on these calls. And it's basically the law of one. And it's not like an exalted thing. It's a sacred thing, and it's special. And it's ordinary at the same time. Marilyn?
Yes? Yes?
Marilyn Hausman.
Yes.
We got about a minute left. And anything you'd like to say about the call with Jerry Friedman on Saturday?
Well, it's it's a wonderful call. And what we do every week is we choose topics from his book to discuss. For instance, right now we're reading the spiritual laws in this book, one by one, going through them. And it's wonderful because Terry, we read it, and Terry makes comments. The book is incredible. It's an incredible book, and the teachings are just amazing. And it's helping him to feel better. He wants to be of service. It's really important. It's very, very important for him to get his teaching out to as many people as he can. And I would recommend it to anyone. And then we, at the end of the session, we call in the light. And it's a wonderful. That is kind of what's turned into kind of like a book club, but it's helping him so much, and I think people should try it. They should give it a try.
I mean, if you take the idea that Jesus came to Terry on the other side, okay, and said, "I need your help. I need to do this," and then Terry wrote the book, and then he got so chastised, he didn't want to put it out. He put it in his closet, and in a sense, on a deep level, I sensed that he felt really guilty, like he had failed Jesus by not getting the book out. And by doing what we're doing, we're helping him not, forgive himself and make sure that he is getting it out and he's starting something. And I think even if he leaves this realm, he knows what he started is going to continue. Okay? So, listen, we got three things. We got Team Shift, we got the Reading Club, and we'll call it the Terry Reading Club. Okay? Just put it in your subject line.
Call it the Terry Friedman Conference Call.
The Terry Friedman Conference Call. Okay. Just put Terry Friedman or Terry anything, just so I know where it's supposed to go. And I will forward them to Marilyn and Edna. And remember, Team Shift is every day for approximately 15 minutes. They happen at different times. We form new groups so we can figure out the time that works for the group. You don't have to show up every day, but you might like to. You might end up doing it. That's Team Shift. The Reading Club, once a week. Actually, now there's two reading clubs at two different times. And one is starting this Thursday on the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And there's the Saturday call with Terry Friedman. And you can do more than one thing. But try it out and see if coming into a group energy with a high intent can work for you. And I really thank Marilyn for volunteering to make this work. And I thank, of course, endless thanks to Terry Brown and Hive for doing what they do, and Robin for keeping... We haven't updated the Spirit Channel yet. We're still trying to figure out how to get a new page up there. But there is a link to BBS Radio on their archives if it's working. And otherwise, we'll probably have it working in two or three days. So we'll let you know when the new calls are being posted. And on that note,
all callers are unmuted.